Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. It's Shane alongside, we got Frankie as always, and this week has been an exciting week for CFL football. A lot of news broke earlier in the week, and we are here to talk about it. We have things from the Winnipeg bubble, CBA talk, Edmonton name, and the CFL All-Decade Team for O-Lineman and D-Line. First things up on today's talk will be the CFL bubble, which was announced, I believe, on Tuesday, with Winnipeg basically being given the bubble as a hub city if there is a 2020 season. I mean, it's not surprising. I think as a province, they've only had like 300 and some cases. So it's just a matter of logistics at this point.
Yeah, I'm actually just going to pull up the article that I wrote, because there's a couple of things in here that I think are pretty important about this. So this is our Friday episode, obviously. So I believe that Friday is now the deadline to get the CBA done as for a soft deadline, right? I think they moved it from Thursday, the day we're recording this, to tomorrow, which is Friday, right?
I believe so.
So Farhan Lalji said that we probably won't know if there's going to be a season as of Friday, but we should know if the CBA has been amended for the 2020 season. No matter what happens, though, there's still going to be a lot of work to do. And then in this article, I wrote that the players still have to sign off on the current CBA. And there was a vote sent out to the CFLPA that came back with 85% no. So there's big issues here, like gigantic issues that have to get ironed out and relatively quickly, because we're coming down the deadline. I think somebody said it may have even been Justin Dunk. The absolute latest the CFL can start playing football is the end of September. After that, it's just not going to be doable anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I've been saying this the entire time, I think. Ideally, if you wanted to play a season, no matter how many games, you'd probably want it to be done by now. You'd want the negotiations and the CBA ratified and worked towards. So you'd have players start reporting by the first week of August. And if they're not, and then you would have training camp midweek and then mid-August, and first game would be Labor Day weekend. I think that's always been the idea. If you're getting down, pushing it towards the end of September, you may as well just cancel it and say we'll be back for 2021.
I don't know if just canceling it is the way to go. If you're playing a six game season, you know, sure, it's going to get really freaking cold, right? But you're still going to have time to fit everything in. You're talking about a 10-week span where you're playing football. So at the end of the day, it's not too bad, and you won't need as long of an off season as you did before. But you still want to get things going quickly. And at the rate things are going, it's not looking great. And, you know, things are going to have to change quickly. Do I have absolute confidence that there's going to be a season at this point? No. If I was putting money on it, I would put money on, well, I would never put money on what's going to happen at this point. I think there's still so many things that can change very quickly. Because at the end of the day, too, neither party wants to lose this season. And do I think a CBA deal can be hammered out tomorrow, Friday, as we're recording this? I think it's possible. But it's going to take a lot of work, because players are not too happy right now. And even if there is a CBA negotiated, it doesn't mean we're going to have a season. Because yeah, we don't know what's going on federally.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be worked out. I think, you know, the self-imposed deadline was stupid. But, you know, they've done worse things, and it's come out to work out. But I think if you're going down to the middle of August without a CBA agreement, I think you have to cancel it. Like, you have to look at the possibility of just canceling the season and working on getting ready for a 2021 season.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being fair, getting the hub city set in Winnipeg was a big step. right? That kind of started to turn the wheels a little bit, I feel, because things started to happen very quickly after we got that done. And you know what? Honestly, it's very interesting that they took so long to name it, because let's look back. We episode 22, which at this point is what, 3 weeks ago, we talked about that, and that Winnipeg was named the Hub City. And 3 weeks later, here we are. We just got confirmation that that is in fact true after they denied it. So I'm curious about what made them take so long with that. But that was a big step, and I think that was also very important to get done.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree that I'm surprised. Like, I'm very surprised that they denied it in the first place, and then just announced it 3 weeks later. If they announced this when it came, like it broke, we would probably be talking more about, okay, training camp starting over, you know, is there still going to be a season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happened over the past couple of days, right? We got that information that Winnipeg was the spot if there was a season. All of a sudden, we start seeing a bunch of stuff on Twitter about this is going to happen, this is going to happen, we got to do all this and this and this and this. And then we start seeing stuff starting to happen. If this could have happened 3 weeks ago, we'd be in a very, very different boat right now. I got to ask, what were we doing for the past month and a half, for the past 3 weeks, for the past 2 weeks when we were sitting here doing nothing? What was going on? Right?
I mean, no idea.
And it's not like we can talk to a player and ask either, because as far as they know, or as far as they've said, they haven't been told anything. So what are we doing?
I don't know, man. It doesn't look good for the league that, like, they've announced the city and everything started to roll. Like, if they announced the city 3 weeks ago, it could be a completely different landscape right now.
Now, let me ask you this, though. As far as where you would rather be right now in terms of getting your season off the ground, let's ignore financials and everything, because this makes my game more fun. Would you rather be in the CFL's shoes or in the NFL's shoes?
NFL, 100%.
You think so?
They haven't really done anything good recently. But, like, I don't know. I feel like they've had more time than the CFL. And could have done a lot better than what they've done.
Sure. But I think there's also – the NFL is going to run into the same problem the CFL is in right now. They're playing this little game right now where they're completely ignoring COVID-19 and just hoping that it doesn't stop them, right? They just told their players to report to camp, and players are saying, no, you know, you've done nothing to ensure my safety long-term during a global pandemic that, this thing has killed millions of people at this point. Why is the NFL doing what they're doing? Like, at least in the CFL, they are taking their time. They're, as far as I understand, looking after the players' health primarily here. Whereas the NFL is just out there to chase the bag.
I mean, I hope that's what the CFL is doing.
I mean, the CFL could be doing anything right now, but I think and I trust that they are looking after the players' health and safety, because above all else, that's the most important thing here. If you can't do this safely, then you can't do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, I mean, player safety needs to be the top priority, and I highly doubt it is, at least for the NFL.
Yes, like the NFL, honestly, I'm kind of disgusted by the way they are acting. You know, it's to expect players to go out there, and, you know, you can tell me how many millions of dollars they're making and whatever, but you know what? At the end of the day, they've got families they want to go home to, just like you. Just like your neighbor, just like the people you know around you, they don't want COVID. They don't want to deal with that. You know, if they go home to their newborn baby and give it to them, who knows what happens? If they go home and their grandmother lives with them, who knows? Right? The way the NFL has handled it is equally as disgusting to the CFL, in my opinion.
If not worse.
Yeah. I mean,
the biggest CFL problem has been, like, communication, right?
Yes.
That's what we've heard a lot from the players is the lack of communication. They probably could have easily handled that a lot better, but, you know, they didn't. And we're in that situation where we have to pick sides, which is unfortunate.
I am trying my best to not pick sides. right? We've talked about what the PA has been doing that we don't like, but you know, I'm not happy with the league right now as well. You know,
yeah, I'm not happy with either side.
No, exactly. And I think that's something that both sides need to look at, and they need to understand that both sides aren't perfect. You know, the PA can shoot down this deal, right? That's fine. I have no problem with that. If the deal does not meet your standards, or, you know, there's something in there you don't like, you don't want your 33% prorated salary, right? That's fine. I'm okay with that. But at the same time, the PA has to look over at the CFL and you know, make a compromise for them. You're not going to get your full salaries this year. It's just not possible. And at the same time, you know, the CFL has to look over at the players and understand they have families to feed. You know, they can't go this year bringing home less than $10,000. That won't work for them. You know, in a lot of places, you're talking about a couple months' rent. That doesn't work. So the CFL is going to have to bump up their offer. They're going to have to make something work very quickly here, because by the time that this episode comes out at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, they will have probably about 12 hours to get this done. And if that doesn't happen, there's probably not going to be a season.
Yeah, I'm banking on there not being a season.
Yeah.
At this point, I have very little confidence.
It's difficult, too, because this deadline they've set for tomorrow or Friday. I keep saying tomorrow. We are recording this on Thursday afternoon. So when I say tomorrow, I mean Friday. But that's also a soft deadline. So what's the real – we don't know what the real deadline is.
Sooner, you're not playing football.
Right, but could it be the middle of August and still have something ready to go and done? Probably.
Nah, that's way too long.
It could be. It depends, though, because if you set up your bubble and you get everything ready to go and then you secure your money and then you negotiate your CBA to get that done, that could be a difference.
You're right. I just don't see it happening.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't trust either side being able to wait that long. I feel like the CFLPA wants an answer on if there's going to be a season or not this year, like tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah. If that's the case, there's going to be no CFL season.
Yeah. I mean, it's so tough, but can a CBA get done? You know, I think they're really far apart. And I think that's pretty obvious based on what's being said.
Unfortunately.
Can that change in a day? Unlikely. But again, yes. And I think the fact that both parties want to play this season, let's assume the league wants to play. I know there's some organizations that couldn't care less if this season is played. BC. Let's assume that everybody other than BC is allowed at the negotiating table. And maybe Toronto. If those two parties want to have this season happen and are realistic in their negotiations, something can happen. Is it likely? No. Can it happen? Yes.
Will it happen? That's...
We don't know.
That's the debate right now.
Exactly. Could the deadline be pushed 2 weeks down the road if something happens significant tomorrow and they get closer? I think so. I think that's a very realistic possibility for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they break ground on something and that they feel like they're on the right path, they can probably be like, all right, we'll push the deadline a little bit. You know, yeah. We've seen that happen in plenty of sports, so that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. See, part of the issue with this, though, is the fact that they've pretty much confirmed that if there's a season, it will A, be in Winnipeg, and B, it's going to be 6 games. So it's not like you have an 8-game season that you can say, okay, we're going to only play 6 and we're going to expand our negotiations here by 2 weeks to a month, right? You're already back against the wall. Because if you go under 6 games, you're not going to have a season. If you go to 4 games, it's just not worth it at that point to me.
Even 6 games is pushing.
Yeah, right. 6 games is really short. But if you got 4-game regular season and 3 games of a playoff, like, is it really worth it?
I mean, no. And I mean, I don't even think a 6-game regular season is worth it for some people.
For many people, it's not. But you also have to understand that a 6-game season isn't necessarily the worst thing that could possibly happen.
I mean, it's better than no season.
Right.
So, like,
right.
There's that.
Now, do you want a little bit of optimism here?
I mean, I think that would be nice.
Cool. Well, I'm going to give you some not optimism, whatever the opposite is. Pessimism.
Pessimism or whatever.
Let's say what Dave Naylor said. So, essentially, we've harped on about the CBA. But good news is Dave Naylor is saying that even if you get that done, you might find out this is too difficult simply because they don't have the funds. He doesn't – like, when we talked to him when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago to get that article done, he told me then that he doesn't think there's going to be a season. That hasn't changed. He doesn't think there's going to be a season, with all due respect to the people who are working hard to make it happen. He thinks that one of the federal government side or the CBA not getting done is going to be what causes the season to not happen. But – you know, if both those things happen, I'm curious to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, he has every right to think, like, to say that because...
Oh, 100%.
I think that's the biggest worry right now is the lack of CBA and the lack of government insurance on this situation. So, like, people are going to say that he's crazy for thinking it. I don't think he's crazy at all. I think he's right on point.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'll bring it up again. It is good to know that he doesn't believe that the league is going to fold should there not be a season, which is looking increasingly likely. So that's something that we can be happy about. You know, this isn't the death blow for the CFL likely. But this is going to have to be a point where things change and change very quickly for the CFL because they cannot continue to run their business like this because it's only a matter of time if they continue on this path that things really go wrong for them and not with the help of a pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, all the pandemic showed was how bad the league was run to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Like the CFL compared to other sports leagues is a small business, right? So this pandemic took its toll on every league. It's just the fact that the CFL is smaller than the rest of them right now that it really, really hurts. Really hurts.
It's their own fault.
Yeah. Do we want to talk quickly about the federal government? Because there's a really interesting and a story full of twists and turns in there right now.
Let's do it.
Cool. So it came out from Stephen Gilbo that Sports Canada does not provide funding for profit independent leagues or goes outside of Football Canada's mandate. He said, "We encourage organizations in need of assistance to talk to their financial institution and see what options are available to them." But Dave Naylor is also saying that the CFL is continuing to talk to the federal government for financial aid. And that it was never intended that the 44.5 million roughly, whatever it was, wouldn't be coming from the Heritage Ministry, and the Sports Ministry or the Sports Canada is a part of the Heritage Ministry. So this story has so many different layers that I'm not quite sure where we are with this right now. I find it really interesting that Gilbo opened his mouth like this. And then backtracked on it a little bit later by replying to either the CFL News or the CFL Headlines Twitter account and saying that negotiations were still ongoing. I'm seriously confused why he was talking.
I have no idea. I mean, so the government itself is always – they can never get their story straight, so I never expect them to in the first place.
Yeah, this is such a big hurdle for the CFL. Because if they want to have a season, the CBA has to happen and the government funding has to happen. Those are the two massive, 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 massive hurdles that have to be cleared. If you can get those two things, all of a sudden you're looking up to have a season. Obviously, there's still a chance it doesn't happen if that happens. But I don't know where we are. Like this this whole situation makes no sense. No sense at all.
Yeah, it's just a mess right now. I mean, it makes a lot of sense with all the other stuff going on in the CFL right now. And that's, you know, the Edmonton football team, EE. Yep. Personally, I think it's just time to drop the EE, drop the colors, and just rebrand completely.
I don't think that's happening.
I don't think it's happening. I just think it's time to do it.
Yeah. I honest to God, I think keeping the EE is fine. Right. Considering now the most common option of Edmonton Empire appears to be off the table, I'm super interested to see if they choose a name before the season, and B, what it's going to be. Because if you haven't seen it, just a little bit before we recorded this, it came out that the Washington football team was going to remain that way for the 2020 season, and we're going to play with some generic uniforms. Could I see Edmonton doing that too?
To be fair, the generic uniforms do look pretty nice.
They do. Well, they're pretty much just...
I do enjoy the burgundy, white, and gold with just the numbers on the helmet. I think that looks sick.
Like, they're just the same uniforms they wore last year, just with the logo taken off of the helmet and all of the branding everywhere taken off.
Yeah, but I think it looks sick. I don't know. Yeah. It's one of those classic, looks. Like, I think Edmonton did that.
They look like a college team.
Notre Dame.
I mean, not Notre Dame, but...
Doesn't Notre Dame do that, though? They have the helmet. They have the numbers on the helmet.
They don't, but they just have the solid gold helmets. It's right. Alabama. Alabama has the numbers on the helmets. Yeah. There's other teams that do it. Like, the blank helmet with either numbers on it or no numbers, whatever, that's an iconic look. Like, Penn State does that. Ohio State does that. There's so many organizations and not organizations, but schools that have that kind of look that, you know, just went that way from when they were founded and whatnot. I think those uniforms in Washington that they're doing are really cool. I would not be surprised at all if Edmonton went as the Edmonton Football Club for a year or two before they have the funds to make the change to something else. Because
I think they get the funds. I just think it's they don't want to rush a name.
Right. I think that's fair, but at the same time, you got to remember, no money's coming in right now. They're already going to lose what? I think they had a $12 million fund.
I wonder how much money it would, like, if you did, and here's the thing, is that if they take their time with it, it doesn't matter how much money they spend if they butcher it.
Yes.
So, like, take as much time as you need. If you need to take the rest of the year, just play yourself as, like, the Edmonton Football Club and work with New Era, work with whoever you have to work with to have a name for the 21 season, that's fine. Last thing you need to do is butcher this and spend more money than you have to in terms of a naming and whatnot.
Now, would you respect their choice to just go with blank uniforms for a year, just generic stuff?
If they were to just drop it, like take the Eskimos off their jerseys and have just Edmonton on it, kind of like Washington's done, I'd have no issue with it.
Yeah.
Even if they want to keep the EE on the jersey or on the helmet, that's fine. But, like, I would have no issue with them being called the Edmonton football team for a year.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
So we ran a poll that 418 people voted in. So thanks for those 418 people. Because
holy hell. And how are you guys going to take a poll and not follow us, though? That's rude.
But we ran a poll about what the name should be. And we did this before Empire was taken off the table. So the options we listed were Empire, Elks, Express, and then something else, which was our write-in option, which went completely to shit because people just said Rough Riders constantly. Which
is
Edmonton Moose Knuckles. Edmonton Energy. Edmonton Energy was a common write-in one, actually, that I think is okay. But, you know, there's already been players that have said that that's stupid. I can't remember exactly who said it. But the one that really gets to me that I think is completely stupid is people that want it to be Esks, Eskies, Eskers, anything in that realm. I think that to me is just...
Not going to lie, I like the Elks. I think the Elks are probably the nicest one. Energy isn't too bad. I just feel like it's too collegey.
Yeah. I think I found my new favorite.
Which is?
I just saw someone that said Edmonton Ejaculators.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Someone had Edmontons or I can't even say it. Edmontons, like yep. Edmontons.
Yep.
With like a pair of mittens in the logo.
You know, the most creative one that we get, and that I've seen this all over the place, is Edmonton 39ers. Where you just flip the logo upside down and it looks like a 39. I kind of like that. I don't know what the significance of 39 is to Edmonton. But, you know, if they had something going on in 1939 or 1839 or whatever, that was...
Because you can keep the EE, sort of.
Yeah, you just flip it upside down. I mean...
And then...
Do I think that's going to happen? No chance. But it's kind of nice. I don't know. I just hate the black in that logo, man. I think it makes it look so dumb.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad they dropped the black.
But... I guess now that I've talked about this poll for a while, we can actually tell you the results. So 15.8% of people said something else, and we just listed some of the dumb ones that we got. Vare R was one that we got too. The green gold. Yeah. People just make fun of the red blacks all the time. It's great.
I mean, Cousinois and Laval, you know, there's a lot of names to be made fun of.
Yeah, it's okay. We just make fun of the Rough Riders by calling them the Green Whites. So, you know, that's our name. But thanks.
I mean, to be fair, they may have more great cups if they never actually stole our friggin' name.
Fair enough. But this, back to the poll, 38.3% of people said Empire. And, you know, I figured that's what was going to be the most common one, too. And I'm kind of, frankly, I'm surprised that they aren't going to go with that name. But, you know, it's whatever. 30% of people said Elks, which I thought was interesting. I didn't think that name would be so popular. And I thought Express would be more popular than it was. Because, I mean, Express is my personal favorite.
See, I don't like Express. I think it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I mean, part of it to me, I think Elks and Empire fit best with the logo. Now, if they went with Elks, I would totally want them. You know how the LA Rams do the ram horns on their helmet?
Yeah.
I would totally want them to do elk antlers.
Yeah, no.
I think that'd be sick.
I think Elks is probably the best one.
I think that's what we're going to end up with, to be honest with you now.
So, I would be totally okay with Elks.
Yeah, I think that is really starting to gain steam. And I thought people were saying it as a joke originally, but I think that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that side of things for Edmonton. I like the Elks. I think if you add antlers to the EE, I think it would be sick.
Oh, I don't care what you do with the logo. If you want to keep the EE for tradition reasons, whatever. But what I want to see, I want that green helmet back. And I want some elk antlers on that bad boy. You would be the only team in the CFL to do it. You know, you'd what? In the NFL, there's the Rams that do it. The Eagles do it. I don't think there's anybody else that does.
Seahawks right? have their logo, like their...
Right, but they don't have, like, a thing that isn't their logo. Like, I'm talking... Sure. I find it really interesting when you put something other than your logo on your helmet, but you still know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have done, if Seahawks probably could have done wings, but you would have been copying the Eagles, right? So
right. Yeah, I think, well, there's a team in Madden called the Antlers, I think they're called, or something like that. And they have just antlers on their helmet. I think you could blatantly rip off Madden and do that. I think that would be really cool.
But, you know, we can talk about Edmonton all the time. But
yeah, I mean, sorry, Edmonton fans. We've kind of kicked the shit out of you the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, well, we're going to move into the last part of this episode, and that is the talking about the CFL All-Decade Team.
Yeah, this one was
extremely hard for me to do because I've watched all these guys play, and like we've had a couple of them on the show, and it's been difficult.
Yeah.
So we posted the link on our Twitter for the CFL All-Decade vote for O-line, D-line. You basically have to pick an entire O-line. So you have your centers, you have your two guards, and you have your two tackles, and then you can do your defensive line, which so you have your two defensive ends and your two defensive tackles. And this one was hard.
Now, this is where you're going to kill me because I don't know that much about offensive line. So let's quickly, before we wrap up this episode, let's see what you got at center.
For me, I honestly am kind of surprised that McEwen got put at center. I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, I was a toss-up between Dan Clark, Bordeaux, Jude, and Gott.
Really?
Gott.
Really? I actually picked Mike Filer.
Honestly, Filer would be a close one. I just think Gott was more consistent as a center.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Gott continue to play. But for me, him, you know, not really – well, I mean, he did have a good couple of years in Ottawa. But I think him ending so far away from right now, to me, that kind of didn't help him. And as well in the last year where he was in, he kind of struggled a little bit. I always thought he was a good option, but I think Mike Filer is overall more deserving.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Clark was a close second for me.
Yeah.
Going to guard, this one was really hard because they're all like Shane Bergman, probably has been the most consistent guard in the CFL. And I've been torn between Matt O'Donnell out of Edmonton and Brandon Labatt out of Saskatchewan. And I'm leaning towards Labatt.
Yeah, I picked Labatt as well.
So, yeah, I got Bergman and Labatt as my left and right guard.
I think I actually picked Jamichael Dean here. Don't ask me why. I told you, I'm no O-line expert, so.
Tackles were hard for me. I went Chris Van Zyl on the right side, probably been the most dominant right tackle in the league.
Yep.
And then I went with Derek Dennis.
Yeah.
You know, the All-Stars, the Lineman of the Year, you know. Everyone on this list, though, was super deserving of being on the list.
Oh, my God, yeah. I picked Van Zyl, and then I felt like I had to pick either Tony Washington or Derek Dennis. But, man, that year in Saskatchewan for DD really, really hurts for me at least. So I went Tony Washington here. I think this is off of my memory, and I think I'm right. But, man, I wanted to pick Sir V too. But
they were all deserving. I mean, I looked at Derek Dennis, like, you know, I think he had like three All-Stars, you know, Lineman of the Year. And he's only been in the league for half a decade. Yeah. Like, I thought it, like.
Hey, Derek, we love you. So don't get too mad at me. You can come on and tell me why you're better than Tony anytime you want.
Yeah. Defensive ends, it was easy for me. Charleston Hughes and John Bowman. As much as I like Lemon and Willis and like Chick being one of my favorite, it's just those guys have been dominant their entire career.
Yeah, I think I went the same actually. I don't exactly remember on this one, but I think I went Charleston Hughes and John Bowman as well.
Honestly, I was kind of surprised that Chick was in as a defensive end. I thought they may have put him inside, but yeah, I know. Like even there, like Keon Williams and like Cordero Law. Honestly, Cordero Law was also one that I thought they were going to put inside.
Yeah, I mean, like pretty a lot of guys on this list though are worthy of being here. Like Willie Jefferson, Sean Lemon, Odell Willis, John Chick, Jagerrid Davis, Gabriel Napton, Jamal Westerman, Cordero Law.
Like, yeah, they're all really deserving players.
Even Justin Capicotti was really friggin' good for the Red Blacks when he was here.
The overall body of work, when you have a hundred, like, Charleston Hughes is should be as much of a lock.
Oh my God, yeah.
As, you know, Cornish and, or Harris, like, as Cornish.
Well, we're only I think that's different. I think that's a different situation because it's Cornish versus Harris. And I think you can split hairs there, right? I think there's an argument to be made for John Cornish, and there's an argument to be made for Andrew Harris. But here, Charleston Hughes has over 100 sacks in the CFL, and he's been on this show. So if that's not enough for you to vote for Charleston Hughes, I don't know what is.
The defensive tackles have been, like, I haven't even submitted my vote because I was waiting to do it on the show because I have no idea who to pick.
I did it because I didn't know where I'd be when we drew in this.
You know, Ted Laurent, Armando Sewell, Mika Johnson, Cleon Lang, Zach Evans, Dylan Wynn. You know, I'm very tempted. Like, Eric Taylor and Eddie Steele are among the two as well. Drake Nevis.
Now, let me tell you, Shane. I let my homerism come out in this one. I voted Moten Hopkins.
Yeah, honestly, like, even Keith Shulligan.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I got to go Ted Laurent and Eddie Steele.
I think my second pick here was Dylan Wynn. I think I went Dylan Wynn, Moten Hopkins.
Ted Laurent has probably been the most dominant tackle in the CFL since he's shown up to the league.
I let my homerism come out in this one. I'm telling you, Shane.
I did not. I don't have any homers.
Moten Hopkins, to me, Moten Hopkins is really special. You know, one of the biggest things I'll never forget about the Red Blacks, and biggest, not disrespect to you, Moten, but you're big. the night the Red Blacks won the Grey Cup, I will never, ever get the picture of Moten Hopkins just with an iron grip on that thing, letting all the fans touch it and everything. There's just something about Moten Hopkins that was so special to me. And
yeah,
you can complain about it all you want to me. I don't care. Moten Hopkins was one of my votes.
Yeah, that's fine. I think he's, again, deserving.
Again, yeah, everybody that's been named. Like, this is a really tough list because there's an argument to be made for Cleon Lang, Armando Sewell, Micah Johnson, Ted Laurent, Zach Evans, even.
I just want August 18th to happen because I just want the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because this one is probably going to be the most up for debate.
We will have an entire episode talking about why each quarterback is worth it. And
Bo Levi.
Oh, Henry Burris has to be there.
I don't know. I don't. I think Henry Burris slots in as the third best quarterback of the decade.
Come on.
He's been okay. He was two great cups and won one, lost one. Compared
all right,
to
hold on. Let's save this, okay? Because we're running out of time, and this is going to be an entire episode by itself. I can almost guarantee it right now, assuming we're not playing football.
I mean, even if we are playing football,
maybe at this point. So before we let you go, we want to let you know what's going on. We don't know our schedule right now. We have things in the works. We might be dropping an episode over the weekend. We might not be. We don't really know yet. We don't know if Tuesday is going to be the Red Blacks depth chart or not. So
we have a lot to work out.
Yes.
But you know what? It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be informative for a lot of people.
Yeah. Please bear with us because if we do drop an episode over the weekend, it's going to be a very important episode, I think, is the best way to describe it. And it will be very informative. I can promise you that.
Very. And again, guys, we are also still, you know, stay tuned to our Twitter because we will have more news coming out in terms of merch and whatnot. So stay tuned for that. But I think that's all for today's episode. For myself, you can follow me at Shane_Ryan97. You can follow Frankie at 613Frankie. And as always, follow us 13th Man Pod on Twitter. If you like the episode, rate it 5 stars, share it, tell your friends about it, scream it from the rooftops, let everyone know about it. We appreciate the support and the listeners, guys. Stay safe, have a great one. We will catch you back here next time with a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. Have a wonderful one.